Outkick the coverage live every weekday morning from 6 to 9 a.m. Eastern, 3 to 6 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for Outkick the coverage at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every morning on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
So we had ourselves, I don't know if explosive is the right term,
yeah,
but
that's it.
A wild day in the National Football League on Thursday. We'll get into all of that coming up here in just a couple of moments from now. He is LeVar Arrington. I'm Jonas Knox. It's Outkick the Coverage here on FSR. You can hang out with us as always on the iHeartRadio app. You can find us on hundreds of Fox Sports Radio affiliates. And wherever the hell you are, we appreciate you making us a part of your Friday.
Indeed.
Welcome to Friday. It is here, weekend right around the corner, and we will take you all the way up until 9 a.m. Eastern time, 6 o'clock Pacific, right here on Fox Sports Radio, and we will do so with that man himself, Sticks.
Yeah,
number
Mr.
11.
Sticks. Yeah.
Yeah. LeVar Arrington. What the hell is happening?
What's going on, man?
Just hanging, man. Yeah. We got, it was great to see the great Ben Maller, who was in studio.
How about it? I didn't know he was that tall.
Yeah.
My first time ever meeting.
They don't call him Big Ben for no reason.
Well, now I know why.
Yeah. Well, I mean, listen.
Not the clock.
Yeah, I don't want to get, we're not here to get, personal.
I'm not in that conversation.
Not here to give out every measurement, if you know what I mean. But
yeah.
I'll just say this.
Shots out the bid.
But no, he's one of the all-time greats, and kind of a wild day in the NFL yesterday, huh? We got COVID talk. We got the NFL. Here's basically for those of you that there's a lot of details to this, but in essence, what the NFL did was they incentivized players to get the vaccine, and they have pretty much said, if you test positive but you're vaccinated, we're willing to work with you. And if you test positive and you're unvaccinated, you're gonna have some problems. And forfeiture of games is on the table if this happens. So they have done everything they possibly can.
That doesn't sound like incentivized.
Yeah, it just...
it kind of has a little bit of a, the ultimatum.
You know what I think it is? I think the NFL went as far as they possibly could without saying you have to get vaccinated or else you can't be in our league.
That's what everybody's doing. That's the line that's in the sand that everybody's trying to figure out how to navigate.
And so with that being said, here we are. You got players that are upset about it. Look, Cole Beasley's been pretty outspoken about it. He's gotten a lot of grief for it. You had yesterday it was DeAndre Hopkins who said, they're basically putting me in a spot, that are forcing me to get something. I've got to reevaluate, whether or not I want to do this. That tweet was quickly deleted. Jalen Ramsey chimed in on it and said,
I
just said, listen, I know people that were vaccinated who've tested positive for coronavirus, and Jalen Ramsey's point was, hey man, if one of my teammates says I don't want to get the vaccine, I don't feel right about it, I'm not going to sit in judgment.
Yeah.
And you're going to have, I think, players around the league. There's, people in the media who have, certain agendas, whether it's political or whatever you want to call it, which there is an aspect of this to that, that are saying, well, this is going to cause problems in the locker room. First of all, I don't think it's going to cause that many problems in the locker room. I think the NFL locker room is probably a little bit more understanding than people in the media want to give them credit for.
Huh.
Like, I think it feels to me like there's this, and I asked Brady Quinn this one time. I said, what do we get wrong the most as media members? And he said, the locker room. He goes, there's a perception on the outside of what the locker room's like that's not really the case once you get inside there. And so this whole situation has now caused people to look ahead to the season. You've had people shouting down those who you're being unselfish if you don't get the vaccine. You don't care about your teammates. So here
you're being selfish.
Yeah.
The locker room is a different reality for every player, for one.
Yeah.
Let's start there. Then let's also start here, take a step backwards and say, listen, a vaccination does not mean that you do not get the illness. A vaccination means that your body is now introduced to what that illness could be, what those germs are. Now you have built up an immunity to be able to fight it, people. So for those who are sitting there saying, I'm not getting the vaccination. Why are you not getting the vaccination? You see, people are still getting it. There's a flu shot every year, guys. You know why you get the flu shot and you get vaccinated with the flu shot? Because it helps build up your immune system to deal with if you get the flu.
Yeah.
So for anybody out there that may have been confused in terms of, wait. If I got, you mean I can still get the Rona with the shot? I'm out. Like, no, don't make that your thought process. Like, the idea of it is, listen, I'm not here to tell anybody what they should and what they shouldn't do. There's always going to be age-old discussions and debates about the safety of something, what's the agenda of something, why you're doing it, why are they putting this in your body. I get that. Like, you get really, you know, no real opportunities to make mistakes that are going to possibly impact your health and possibly your life, the quality of your life moving forward. So this isn't something that guys should be taking lightly as they're moving forward into whatever their decision should be. But if you're going to take a strong hard line stance on not taking the vaccine, and to this point, if you are going to take the vaccine, educate yourself on it as much as you possibly can. Because the thing about it for me is if you're sitting there complaining about it and you got a problem with it and you got all these different things to say, but you're not really putting in the time and the energy to educate yourself on something that could impact your way of living, and when I say way of living, not just health-wise, but your job, Jonas, if you're not putting in the time to know what it is that you need to do to make sure you maintain your job so you can make ends meet, then that's on you. That's a lazy approach. And that's something that you ultimately are going to have to deal with the repercussions of that.
Yeah, I think when the news came out, it's also important to point out, they're not telling you have to get vaccinated.
Right.
They're telling you, they're getting pretty close, as we said, but they're telling you, look, if you don't get vaccinated and you test positive, here's what could happen. So I think initially there was, and maybe this was DeAndre Hopkins' approach, he thought that he was being backed into a corner. He kind of is, but not really. This is all about, are you going to test positive? And then this is what could happen should we get to that point of where we're at. I'm so worn out by the whole COVID talk, the whole vaccine, the whole, like, all of it. I'm so worn out by it. And my biggest issue with this whole discussion is that there's this mob mentality that's been presented. There's this, like my mom told me back when I was young, she said, here's what you don't do. Don't talk politics and don't talk religion with people. She's like,
you'll never win.
Yeah, you're just going to go around in circles. You never. It's a waste of time.
She should have added one more. Don't talk about how dope you are, Jonas.
Oh yeah, that's a good
because
yeah.
Nobody's going to like how dope you are more than you do.
Yeah,
and people really love trying to take your dopeness away.
Well, that's
man.
All right. Listen, now they can try all they want, but
that dopeness ain't going nowhere.
That's why you're here to protect me. That's how this works.
Guy. I got your back.
I just don't like the mob mentality. The shouting down of the other side. I'm fed up with people that aren't vaccinated who are calling out people that do get vaccinated, calling them sheep and weak, and you'll do whatever they say,
right?
And you don't have a brain of your own. And I'm tired of the people that got vaccinated who were telling that,
like,
people
I'm vaccinated.
Yeah, like, listen,
here's my card.
Oh God, like there's like whatever happened to agree to disagree?
Right.
You know, we agree to disagree. You feel one way, I feel the other. That's fine. I still believe that more of that exists in the NFL. Like, not every player is going to get vaccinated. It's not happening. And we'll cross that bridge when we get to it. But I'm just worn out with the whole gang mentality. I'm on this side. You're on this side. There are no shades of gray. And that's the part of this that has just completely fatigued me, to where I'm thinking to myself, man, can we just get to the season and see what happens? Like, because a lot of this stuff is worst case scenario situations.
Sure.
And I think the NFL's last ditch resort is canceling games. I think that's the last thing they want to do. And they've said, if they can't figure out a way to reschedule games within the 18-game format, then they'll approach a cancellation. There's still a lot that needs to go wrong for the NFL to get to that point.
Yeah, Jonas. Listen, my idea of this is, if you did get the vaccination, if you didn't get the vaccination, I'm with you on the point of, why does this become such a publicly discussed debate?
It's weird.
Because in reality, you really can't keep these conversations very much in-house. But I think that when this is also a symptom of our society and how culture has evolved, especially through social media, is everybody seeks public validation. And I think sometimes that's sometimes one of the biggest mistakes that I think people of influence make, especially people of influence. But a lot of times people that aren't as influential find themselves trying to mimic someone who influenced them. So if I'm being influenced by you and you're out here trying to get validation, then what's everybody else going to do? So now you get this vicious cycle of people that want to get validation. I got the vaccination. I want validation. Give me a pat on my back. Tell me I did well. Tell me I'm a good guy. Tell me I'm a good person, da, 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 so on and so forth. Now you have other people that's sitting there, they're doing the exact same opposite, but they're influencers. Like, I didn't get the vaccination. I'm not being herded like a cattle or sheep, or I'm not a herd of sheep. I'm not the guy that's going to just do what everybody tells me to do. I'm going to do me. And now you're looking for the validation. Yeah, you're right. Yeah, you did what you're supposed to do, right? And then everybody else, now it's the trickle-down effect.
It's gang mentality. It's weird.
Yeah, it's the trickle-down effect. And reality is with a situation like this, because it's so fluid, we're still learning more and more about what's going on and how it's impacting our society. But ultimately, to me, I think the one thing that kind of gets lost in all of this is people can think about whatever it is they want that drives what it is that why the NFL or why the leagues are forcing or to the borderline of making it mandatory that you get this vaccination. And you could say it could be about the money. You could say whatever you want to make it about. But ultimately, you got to believe that the people that are making these decisions are husbands, their wives, their mothers, their fathers, their aunts, their uncles, their cousins, right? So in the end, if you think for 2 seconds that there isn't a humanistic approach to wanting people to do something that's going to possibly keep them healthy and other people healthy and create a more healthy environment, you're kidding yourself. And I think that gets lost in all of this because it's like this whole, you know, this whole, like, is this a conspiracy? Like, what does the NFL want to inject you with to hurt you? Because in the end, if you're DeAndre Hopkins or Jalen Ramsey or Aaron Donald or any of these guys out here and the vaccination messes you up, that impacts them as well in terms of if you want to make it about the bottom line. So you got to believe that whether you think it's a genuine approach or a disingenuous approach, the idea of it is for safety precautionary purposes. And you don't have to really go any further than that when you're really thinking about it.
Yeah, it's a very, very bizarre situation. And I think the most important thing to point out when it comes to the NFL in this whole scenario, Cowboys plus one in a couple of weeks at the Hall of Fame game. I just want everybody to inject your veins with that pick. Cowboys plus one. I'm calling my shot right now. Cowboys plus one.
But Live Bet Jesus. Well, I guess it's not.
Listen, we don't need to bring up old stuff. We don't need to bring up old stuff. That's a whole nother
story. Thank you, Jesus.
I just wonder if he was going to visit just now.
Lamar Arrington. Outkick the coverage here, Fox Sports Radio. Coming up next, we are going to talk with our NFL insider. There's a couple of big storylines around the league, one of which we need an answer to pretty quick because this team has got to make a move at quarterback, and we will get into all of that for you. It's Outkick the Coverage on a Friday right here on Fox Sports Radio.
This is Outkick the Coverage.
Albert Breer, MMQB, senior NFL reporter with us here on Fox Sports Radio. Albert, it's Jonas and LeVar. How are you, man?
What's up, Al?
I'm great. How are you guys doing?
Right. We're good. So let's just get right to the most important discussion that came out yesterday that I saw in the NFL, which is your thoughts on the Cowboys getting a point in the Hall of Fame game against the Steelers. What do you make of that, Albert?
Well, I mean, I guess the Vegas must have a lot of a lot
yes,
of confidence in Ben DiNucci, right? I mean, I don't know what to say about
yeah. that. But in all seriousness, that was a wild. It felt like a half hour to an hour of everybody panicking, everybody freaking out, players talking, hinting at retirement, and then I think when everybody sort of cooled down, it was look, yeah. they're not. They're not telling you have to get it. They're just telling you this is what's going to happen if you don't get it and you test positive, right?
Right. And I, the interesting thing, guys, is that, there are still a lot of teams that have required their other employees, their non-players, get it. And a lot of teams, their rates are at 98%, 99% for non-players. It's interesting because because the players are unionized, but they're basically, kind of doing the same thing to the players they're doing to everybody else in their buildings and trying to create the safest environment for everybody. And look, let's not be naive about this either. I mean, what's at stake for the owners is money, and delivering on the inventory to the television networks and filling their stadiums and making up for all they lost last year. I know, if there's one golden rule that billionaires have is don't mess with my money. And I think that's the message that the owners are sending to the players right now.
But, Albert, in the end, and I said this in the last segment, you got to believe that they're not going to sacrifice the health of their commodities, which are their players.
Right.
So there isn't some – you got to assume there's no, crazy hidden plan to vaccinate them and turn them into zombies that is now zombie football teams. I mean, I know there's always going to be the beliefs and the ideas connected to this, but at some point, is this becoming common knowledge that this is really about the health in the end?
Yeah. Again, I tell you, the owners are motivated by money. But I think there's mutual self-interest there, right? If the players get on the field, they make money too, So, it's in everybody's best interest that this doesn't spread in those buildings. And I think we all know that, the nature of the virus is that no matter what you think, if it gets into a workplace, it's going to spread, And so the same way that they did everything they could to keep it out of the workplace last year, they're going to do to keep it out of the workplace this year. And, I think the misconception here is that they're punishing people for not getting vaccinated. And that's not really what it is. If you really look at it, the rules haven't changed since last year for guys who don't have the vaccine, right? The rules and the protocols, testing, weight room, cafeteria, practice field, all of those rules are the same as they were last year. What they're doing is they're incentivizing getting vaccinated by lifting those rules for people who have the vaccine. And so, I don't know what to tell people. I don't think there's any great injustice here. I think they're just trying to protect the people both the people who are vaccinated and the people who are unvaccinated. And as much as anything else, they're trying to protect everybody's ability to work. Because if, people go to work every day this year and there's not a problem, everybody's going to make a lot of money. I actually think all this is pretty simple, and I understand why the owners are doing it. And, I think there's a silent majority of players that understand that their ability to make money, and Lavari knows as well as anybody, your window to make money as a player is relatively short. Mm-hmm. They're doing everything that they can to protect everybody's ability to make money this fall. And, in a lot of ways, make up for stuff that was lost last year as well.
I haven't heard any minimum wage players come out and say, I'm not taking the vaccination. I tried to sound like a comedian about it, but think about the names that are coming out and saying that they don't want to take the vaccination. You know, they've probably made a good deal of money at this point.
And it's not only that. And you know what? It's interesting, too, because those are the guys that – the guys who are, you know, on the bubble, I mean, look, the reality is, and we know this, okay, if there's a coach who is trying to, you know, decide on who his backup linebacker, you know, maybe his fifth linebacker on his roster is going to be, a guy who's probably going to be doing most of his work running down and kickoffs.
That
right?
Vaccination is going to be on their checklist.
It's a factor, right? It's absolutely a factor. And that coach and that general manager cannot say that, and he can't even hint at it, right? But he's going to know. I mean, like, you know, and it's going to be obvious to everybody in the building who's wearing a mask and who's not, right? Like, so you're going to know who's vaccinated and who isn't. And for that coach, you know, it's not just in the best interest of, you know, of the one person, you know, it's not just the best interest of the one person when they're making that decision on who to keep. It's the overall health of the team. And if I think two guys are equal and even, and the best thing for the team is to do everything I can to keep COVID out of the building, you know what? I'm going to pick the guy who's vaccinated. I mean, it's just that. And again, you can't, like, they're not going to be able to say that. But it really, I think in a lot of cases, it's going to be that simple.
Albert Breer, MMQB, joining us here on Fox Sports Radio. Senior NFL reporter Jonas Knox, LeVar Arrington with you here on FSR. All right, so what is the date to watch in the Aaron Rodgers saga that he needs to be present for the Green Bay Packers in order for you to go, all right, so we're good here, or if he's not there, that would be the indicator that we might have ourselves a little bit of a holdout and an issue moving forward?
Well, I mean, obviously Tuesday, you know, if he's not there on their reporting date, that's a big deal because, you know, now, I mean, and look, like, the way these things work, and, you know, I've covered the league for long enough to know that, you know, if you stay away from camp, and you're a player of the magnitude of Aaron Rodgers, it's not just affecting what's going on the field. It's also affecting what's going on off the field. And so every person in that building is going to have to answer questions about you. Your whole camp is going to feel different. It's going to affect everything that goes on in that organization. So if he doesn't show up on Tuesday right away, like, their camp takes on a completely different look. And until he shows up, it's going to be under those circumstances. You know, and then I think really, to me, like, if he were to stay away at the beginning, I think the next, you know, big one is the preseason opener, which I believe is, it's that weekend, August 12th, 13th, 14th, right in there. If he were not to show up by then, we're talking about the money ramping up a little bit, the fines ramp up at that point where you lose the equivalent of a game check if you're skipping a preseason game. And, you know, once you get past that first preseason game, I feel like, and LeVar, you can probably answer this better than me, but I feel like once the teams get past that first preseason game, like, you know, obviously there's still competition for roster spots, but I feel like for the starters, that's really when, and guys who know they're going to be in the roster, that's when things start to turn towards, okay, we're starting to, like, really, like, put in some work and start to look at the regular season and worry about the opener. And so I think if he's not there when the preseason games start, not because he'd be missing the preseason games, but just because I think the focus of the team shifts a little bit at that point, that would be an important checkpoint too. And again, like I said, because the money takes on a different level too.
Yeah, he's too big of a player, too big of an influence for it to ever at any point in time not be a big deal. I mean, that just is what it is. Let me throw another one at you. That's a big deal as well. And he did report, but, you know, as you mentioned on your feed, your Twitter feed, it hasn't played out yet. We don't know what the end results will be with Stephon Gilmore and the New England Patriots. What's the latest on that?
Yeah, so, I mean, I wouldn't expect to see him on the field for at least a little bit. And, you know, this is what those new rules are going to do, I think, to players, to most players, you know, and how they handle these situations. Steph Gilmore is coming off of a torn quad, and, you know, he's not 100% yet. And I think, you know, there's a certain way, you know, a player who's in this sort of situation is going to handle this now. Instead of holding out, I think you can almost call it a hold in. You know, I'm not going to go out and put myself at any sort of risk on that field if, you know, you're not going to reward me, and if you're not going to pay me what I think I'm worth. And so I think what this turns into, in essence, is a hold-in, where Stephon Gilmore's in there, and he's getting his work in, and he's working out, and he's rehabbing, and they can see him getting healthier. But he's not putting himself at any sort of risk until that situation is resolved. So I think that's where we're going to be, you know, for the time being. I also think he does have some leverage here in that Bill Belichick has spent a lot of his boss's money. And yes, Bill Belichick, like all of us, he has a boss. And he spent, you know, I think something like somewhere around $160 million in guaranteed money to try to fix everything that went wrong last year. Think about it this way, guys. Stephon Gilmore's his best player. You spend all of your boss's money that way, and then you keep your best player off, and then you can't get your best player on the field. Wouldn't that undermine everything that you just did? You know, yeah. You're acting with urgency and signing free agents and all the rest of it. The guy who is the one, the player who's like your biggest difference maker is not out there. That undermines all the investing that you did in the offseason back into the roster. And so I think that that's where Steph Gilmore's leverage is. And I think ultimately they find a middle ground. My understanding is he wants something in the neighborhood of what Darius Slay got on an extension from Philadelphia. I think the more likely scenario is that they give him, you know, a one-year bump, something like what they did for Gronkowski and Brady at the end, and then he probably hits free agency in 2022.
Albert Breer, MMQB, I do want to point this out on Twitter yesterday. While everybody's talking about the Big 12 and Texas and Oklahoma going to the SEC, Albert chimes in, the Ohio State alum, and just says, hold my Sam Adams, I got an idea. And now you're trying to petition for Texas and Oklahoma to join the Big 12. First of all, I'm looking
you're
at that.
You're outnumbered here, Jonas. This is a Big 10 conversation now.
Look, I am all about chaos. All right, I have family from the Midwest. I worked in the South, so I know how the SEC feels about things. But I'm looking at this setup right now. Could you imagine Texas and Oklahoma in the Big Ten? First of all, they would fix the weak side of the conference. But LeVar, all of a sudden, your Nittany Lions and Albert's Buckeyes would have their work cut out for them if they want to make a run at this thing.
I don't know that we would have our, especially Ohio State.
I think we'd be just fine. Yeah. I don't know. I mean,
our work is already cut out for us right now, as it stands.
I still think that East Division's better, but it would be like, I honestly looked at it like, I, you know, before I tweeted that, I kind of like thought, like, wouldn't that help Nebraska too? Like, we talk about how far Nebraska's fallen off. I think a big part of that is that they've like lost their identity to some degree, right? Because they don't have the natural rivals, and then you'd be like welcoming their biggest rival from back in the day of history with, all of a sudden now in that West Division. Texas, Oklahoma, Nebraska, Wisconsin, those schools sort of seem like, I don't know, like it seems like that works. Iowa, right? Like, it feels to me like, I don't know, like that almost feels to me like, and I understand why, you know, like the SEC would make some sense too, but it almost feels to me, and I know I'm talking about this from like a Big Ten perspective, like Texas and Oklahoma almost fit the Big Ten better than they do the SEC,
agree.
Don't they?
No, I totally agree. And here, we were actually talking about this yesterday. When I think Maryland, man, I think ACC. Like, I can't, right. I just can't get over my teenage mind of, no, they're an ACC team. Rutgers. So as an Ohio State alum, even though they're part of the conference now, don't you still kind of look down on those schools a little bit? Like, you just got here, newbie.
Yeah, I'm from the East Coast, and my dad's from the Midwest, which is a big part of why I wound up in the Midwest for college. And I look like at Maryland and Rutgers as East Coast schools. I just can't look at them any other way.
I know.
They are. I mean, like, it's just they're not. I mean, they play in that basketball. They played in basketball conferences, right? That's the way I always looked at them. And I was like, I always felt like when the expansion was going on, Nebraska to me was a perfect fit. Nebraska, I thought, made more sense than like any other school. And I,
historically
honestly,
speaking, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I would have rather had like Missouri than Rutgers. I would have I thought there were other schools that made more sense.
Like a Virginia Tech.
Like the identity, of the conference. You know what I mean? Like West Virginia would have made more sense than Rutgers.
They would have. That's a good pool.
Yeah. So like, I just think like it's like, I don't know. Like I think a lot of like, and maybe it's because our conference is so like sort of old school. But I just think there's like a certain identity that these conferences have in the parts of the country that they are, that they're in. And it's like really hard to, I'm not going to say it, but you guys know where I'm going with this. It's like, you know, it's hard to describe, but you know it when you see it. Yeah. And there's something else that's like that too, right? But, but it's like the identity of these conferences, you know it when you see it, you know, right. And the SEC has that. I feel like the Big Ten, that's always been the strength of the conference. And I feel like it's just like you look at Nebraska and you know it, like that looks like a Big Ten school. You look at Rutgers and Maryland, it's like, it doesn't really feel that way.
Yeah, it's. I totally agree. It would be fun to watch and see how this whole thing plays out. Albert, we always appreciate it. Get him on Twitter, at Albert Breer, MMQB.com, senior NFL reporter. Always fun catching up with you here, and hopefully we can do it again next week.
All right, thanks. Have a great weekend, guys.
We awesome. Are,
thanks.
Albert.
Yeah.
Okay, go Buffs.
There it is. All right, good stuff. He's a good dude. Always fun catching up with Albert Breer here on Fox Sports Radio. All right, so we are going to get into an over-the-top. This is absolutely over-the-top. I'm going to be on an island alone when it comes to this. It's an NFL story. We'll have that for you next.
This is Outkick the Coverage.
Hey, I'm Doug Gottlieb. The podcast is called All Ball. We usually talk all basketball all the time, but it's more about the stories about what made these people love their sport and all the interesting interactions along the way. We talk to coaches. We talk to players. We tell you stories. You download it. You listen to it. I think you'll like it. Listen to All Ball with Doug Gottlieb on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Got money in my pocket? Yeah.
He's LeVar Arrington.
Good morning.
I'm Jonas Knox. It's Outkick the Coverage here on Fox Sports Radio. Coming up top of next hour, a little less than 15 minutes from now here on FSR, there is somebody in the NFL who is holding themselves accountable. They are poised to try and have another great season after a disappointment, and they could be the key to a potential Super Bowl run. So we'll get into that here coming up 15 minutes from now on Fox Sports Radio. The Tampa Bay Buccaneers got their Super Bowl rings, and these are absolutely obnoxious. Now, this is I could try and paint the picture. There's 319 diamonds to indicate the 31-9 win, all of that stuff. Tom Brady called them the most incredible rings he's ever seen. There's a removable top to where you can take the top off, and it's got, you know, engraved the stadium that they won the Super Bowl at because it was at Raymond James where they play their home games. So it's got all of, so I mean, it's basically like a Dakota ring. That apparently these guys are just raving about right now. And I'm just going to say this, all right? I've never won a championship ring at any level, so maybe there's a little bitterness to come along with this. When the hell are you actually going to wear this ring, LeVar? Honestly, only a team functions, right, and get-togethers later on, because this seems like the most uncomfortable crap to have walking around on your hand on a normal day. Like, when's anybody going to wear this crap?
Rings are important. Like, I won't make the NFL Hall of Fame, but I'm hoping and praying I make the college one. And I hear they give out rings. Like, I heard you're given a Hall of Fame ring for it. I will wear that bad boy at every important event. So, but here's the thing, right? If I'm Tom Brady, how do you decide what ring you're going to wear?
Yeah, what are you doing?
See, this to me, Tampa Bay players benefited from Tom Brady directly and indirectly with this ring thing that they did. One, the creativity of putting the historical value and the description of it on the removable piece on the inside is freaking creative, innovative, and just different. It's new. To have the stadium on the inside of the ring and showing that on the top of the ring while the removable piece is off is just, the detail of it is pretty crazy. You would have to be intimate with rings to get to a design like that. So this is 100% the influence of Tom Brady involved with this ring setup. So, but I'll tell you what, that's a boast-worthy ring.
I mean,
anything important, I'm aware.
Oh, okay. So did you, because I know that there were, if you won a bowl game, you get a ring,
that's
correct?
Not the same.
I know, but
let me tell you,
did
something.
You get rings, though? You got rings.
No,
if you
we
bowl
didn't.
Game?
We didn't. Now, I will say this. Lately, like us, when the guys won the Big Ten, when Penn State won the Big Ten and won their bowl game, they got a ring for both. They did get a ring for both.
Yeah.
And both of them were dope. Both of them rings were dope. When we won a state championship in high school, my freshman year, and we got a ring. Let me tell you something. I would never wear it.
Why not?
Because it's not enough swag. It ain't.
Oh,
it's not,
Jesus!
It's not,
good
it's not,
God!
It's not drippy enough.
Okay.
It's
just, all right. This. All right.
It looks like one of those old man rings that you put on. You know what I mean?
But
a ruby, like a graduation ring. It looks like. No reason to wear that.
No. Listen. Forget about it. That is. And you played in that game, that championship game, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Because here's my point. If I was a member of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, but I never got on the field in that game, even if I played in every single game the rest of the
You're
season,
wearing that ring,
I'm not.
Bro.
I wouldn't.
Please.
I swear to God,
hey,
I wouldn't.
Let me tell you a funny story.
I feel guilty about it.
Let me give you a funny story super quick. So I was hanging out in L.A., and this happens quite a bit. I was hanging out in L.A. one time, and there's a few Penn State bars in L.A. So I used to go to Penn State bars every Saturday to watch Penn State games. Shouts out to Penn State. If you have a bar that you want me to come to and you do Penn State football games, let me know. I'll show up. And that's not even for an appearance. I just will show up and watch the game with Penn State.
You just won't wear your high school state ring.
If I had got one at Penn State, I'd wear it. But so I'm there and I see a couple of people that I went to school with, and one says to me, you know, hey, listen, I heard you were going to be here. I need a part in this film. I'm trying to get into this film, and I told everybody that's here that I played football at Penn State, and he didn't.
So
he's like, "Can you go with this? Can we go with this?" I was like, "Bro, I got you." So we come walking up. He was like, "Yo, look who's here! Look who's here!" Everybody started. We are Penn State. They're like, "Oh my gosh, we got two, we got two Nittany Lion football greats in the building."
I mean,
I let him have it, though.
Okay, did he get the role?
I don't know.
Oh, okay.
I know him, but not, you know, we don't keep up on that type of, I hope you got the role, bro. I haven't seen him.
I can remember. I can remember being at a bar, and I was so bombed. But it's one of those, you have an out-of-body experience where you know, like, hey, man, just whatever you do, don't say something stupid. And I remember talking to a woman who asked me what I did for a living, and I told her I was a professional tennis player. I don't even know where that came from.
Did it work? You look like a professional tennis player.
No, it didn't work. I was like drooling all over myself. But that was for whatever reason, I thought in that moment, tennis player. And I don't know if it's because the Australian Open was on and it was late at night, and out here on the West Coast, those are aired in the middle of the night before last call.
Had I used that, it would have been a funny story.
Okay.
But you kind of look like you could be a professional something.
Yeah, but
tennis player will work.
It was ridiculous. I mean, I had no idea where that came from. So it didn't work
it
for
didn't
me.
Work.
I'm just hoping it worked for him. Like I'm hoping at least it worked for him and he got the part.
I would
you know?
Just tell you, football player generally works. Unless you're like a big ugly like me. Like it doesn't work that way.
Wow.
I have to go the different direction and downplay being a football player because they expect you to use football.
Yeah, so you know what you do
in
now.
In my prior life, of
yeah,
course.
You just tell them you're a radio host.
Yeah, man.
Yeah, I mean, come on, man.
No, I don't use that either.
So,
but maybe it works.
Yeah.
They're like, not you. You're not a radio host. Yes, I am, babe.
Trust me, it absolutely doesn't work.
I'm sexy, too.
I can assure you it does not work. But we will continue working. We got two more hours to play with next year on Fox Sports Radio.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.